When Hurricane Isabel hit North Carolina back in September, it tore a wide gash through Highway 12, the only road connecting the islands that make up the Outer Banks. The economy there depends on tourism, and the road was fixed just in time for this month's celebration of the Wright brothers' historic flight at Kitty Hawk a century ago. But the repair has renewed questions about what kind of development is appropriate for a narrow spit of land that's always battered by the elements. Lita Hartman reports.
The Outer Banks are a long string of federally protected barrier islands that jut into the Atlantic. Hatteras Island is the biggest, the farthest away from the mainland, and the most vulnerable to erosion. Hurricane Isabel carved a 1,700-foot inlet through Hatteras. It was 2 months before the island and Highway 12 were rebuilt. On the first day the road is open to the public, I join a long line of drivers gawking at the damage.
Well, I'm coming into Hatteras Village now on Route 12. There's still sand all over the asphalt, but the asphalt is new. There's a whole lot of yellow heavy equipment trucks around and signs for road work being done. The place is a mess. It's beautiful. It's a gorgeous, cloudless day, but there are still buildings that are complete wreck.
Some residents say the island isn't ready for visitors, but at the Breakwater restaurant, Jane Oden says the road is so beautiful she could kiss it. Oden is part owner.
It's just been really slow here, very, very slow, really not doing well at all for the last 2 months. And we were hoping for a good night tonight, and we're having a pretty good night, and we need it badly.
Odin's friend, Ray Gray, the principal of Cape Hatteras Elementary School, says having the island split in two hurt everyone.
I have a ton of families that are in economic distress, and it isn't just people that live in Hatteras Village, and Jane can tell you that. It's people that worked over here, that cottages that they cleaned are no longer there or destroyed, motels are no longer there or destroyed, restaurants they worked in, they couldn't get here for 8 weeks without taking boats, and they couldn't do that because they couldn't get back at night. A lot of people on the north side of the breach have not worked.
The economic fallout has affected all the islands, according to Tim Midgett, a Hatteras businessman who's on the board of the Outer Banks Visitor Center.
General populace don't exactly know what part's Nag's Head, what part's Hatteras, and what part's Ocracoke, so they hear of a part of the Outer Banks that is isolated or cut off from the rest of society, and we suffered tourism throughout the Outer Banks.
That's no small thing. Outer Banks tourism brings in more than $1 billion a year. Dare County is one of the few North Carolina counties that generates more revenue for the state than it gets back. That's why every time a storm damages the road, the state and federal government build it right back. This time, the government spent $4 million to reconnect Hatteras Island and rebuild Route 12. But not everyone sees the logic in this. Driving north on Route 12, with the Atlantic Ocean on the east and the Pamlico Sound on the west, environmental analyst Sid Maddock says the Outer Banks aren't the most hospitable place for a highway. He says the islands are constantly changing with the forces of wind and water, and the state is constantly reinforcing high oceanfront dunes, or berms, all along Route 12. Maddock says that's actually counterproductive in the long run.
The whole idea of the berm is to keep sand and water off the road. And the problem is, because of the erosion on the ocean side, the distance between the road and the ocean keeps getting narrower and narrower, which makes it harder to keep the berm in place.
Maddock also says Hatteras Island isn't the most sensible place for million-dollar oceanfront homes. He points at one that's literally right on the ocean, near a high erosion hotspot.
This house wasn't built this close to the ocean. The end of the beach was way out there in the water now, but we're talking an erosion rate of 8 to 12 feet a year right in this section. So those numbers add up.
The homeowner, Peter Koch, comes out on his back deck and casts a fishing line right into the Atlantic just a few feet below. Koch wants the state to protect the road and also to re-nourish the beach using sand mined from elsewhere. He doesn't want restrictions on growth.
Well, it's too late. They've already built. There's already a road here. The people are using it. They allowed it to happen. You know, do we just let it go?
It's hard to, after people have access, to remove the access.
250 miles away in Raleigh, Roy Shelton heads up the Outer Banks Task Force. It's a group of state and federal agencies trying to come up with a long-term transportation plan for the islands.
One of the reasons the Outer Banks Task Force was formed was the recognition that we're dealing with these situations on an emergency basis all the time. There is a long-range study that's underway which will implement more permanent solutions that will not require as much maintenance.
The task force's toughest challenge will be figuring out how to replace the main bridge leading to Hatteras Island. One option includes building a new bridge so long that it would replace part of Route 12, including high erosion spots on Hatteras that will become too narrow for a road in the future. For NPR News, I'm Lita Hartman.